So good morning, everyone. My name is Michael Jans, and I'm the Partnership Engagement Manager with the Alberta Mentoring Partnership. With me here is Andrew Harris, who is the communications, website, tech, all things digital learning and assistance director?
Yeah.
Yeah, director. Well, we're figuring out the title. So here we go. Welcome to the webinar. Today we're going to be talking about creating a quality community-based mentoring program, and we're going to be talking in particular about a refreshed resource that we created called the Start a Quality Community-Based Mentoring Program Toolkit. So before we get started, my name is Michael Jans. I'm the Partnership Engagement Manager, and this webinar is one of our many learning opportunities that we have for interested mentoring advocates and practitioners across Alberta. So whether you run an existing mentoring program or interested in starting a new one, this is an opportunity for you to learn more, to check your own practice, and to work with us to support you in the journey. So first of all, if I'll ask if our attendees, the first thing I would like you to do is if you go on the GoToWebinar panel, you should see a handout. So that handout is the document that I'll be talking about today. You'll also see above handout, there's a chat box. So can I ask you to type into the chat box? You should be seeing Andrew saying hello right now. Can I ask you to type into the chat box? Just confirmation that you're hearing us, you've got audio, and that you, this is all coming through. Okay, so this is kind of our tech check. Can you hear us in the back? So there's a little chat box. It's just on the side of your browser. Awesome, looks like it's coming through. So the next thing I want to do is just talk a little bit before we get into, as you're downloading the handout and getting ready, I want to talk a little bit about the Alberta Mentoring Partnership and who we are and what we do. So, okay, so the handout's not working. The first thing we're going to do then is I'll show you how to manually download. You go to albertamentors.ca and Andrew's going to pull up the link right here and we'll give you a download link to get the handout. So we'll just do that right now. So as Andrew's pulling up the handout, the Alberta Mentoring Partnership is a partnership of government, community, not-for-profit organizations across Alberta. There's about 170 schools and mentoring programs that work together to expand and enhance mentoring. Our vision is that young people thrive through mentoring relationships, and we work together in a collective impact strategy where we all collaborate to support a concept, that's youth mentoring. And we make sure that wherever you are in Alberta, we want to help you with partners, with supports, with tools and resources to improve, expand, and enhance your mentoring program. So we do this through a variety of ways. We have in-person learning opportunities. We just had our Learning Day conference, which I'll be talking more about. We have online mentor training, where over 11,000 Albertans have done this online mentor training, which is free and available to you as a partner of the AMP. We have different tools and resources that are created, like this document today I'll be talking about, which was written by you, the mentoring practitioners of Alberta. We facilitated a conversation, took down the best practices, aligned it with mentoring research from post-secondary and from schools and agency best practices. And we've gone through what really helps make a successful program, not just from Canada, but from the United States and from partners around the world, and how we can have a quality mentoring program. So it's quite comprehensive. And if you're new to our page, I encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. You can find it on albertamentors.ca. And in the top corner, you click under the blog drop down, and then there's a link to the podcast. We have over a dozen different episodes on different topics related to youth mentoring, related to getting programs started, ranging from, say, if you're working with a Christian faith organization to best practices in terms of evaluation and leadership. So they're quite varied and always interesting. I encourage you to take a listen. It's great when you walk into work or doing the dishes or whatever you do when you listen to podcasts. I also want to tell you about our YouTube channel. We have lots of different videos available of different topics, speakers at programs, events. You can click it off our page, albertamentors.ca, And I encourage you to go through there. We also have some promotional videos, and we're willing to help edit them for you. If you would like your own custom video for your agency or your program, we're happy to do that. I also want to invite you, if you're interested, we have a telephone town hall the last Friday of the month at 1 o'clock. We have a telephone town hall the last Friday of the month at 1 o'clock, where it's a chance to call in and talk to other mentoring leaders like yourself and ask questions, share learnings, and we always have a topic. So this topic, this Friday, will be workplace mentoring. So I'm gonna ask, Andrew's going to be dropping things into the chat box for later. I encourage you to copy them out or open them in a separate browser. One of them I'm gonna ask Andrew to share is our Learning Day recap video. That's a summary of what happened at Learning Day this year, and we hope to get you interested. And if you'd be interested in attending a future year, love to have you. We're also gonna talk a little bit about our upcoming webinars. Tomorrow we're doing another webinar with Scott Grace, who's a program lead with Big Brothers Big Sisters of Calgary. And he's presenting on helping youth facing barriers, especially those with sexual orientation and gender identity, program needs, supports, etc. So I think that I think you'd be much interested in this and how to we think it's a great way to round out Pride Month is having a webinar talking about mentoring for queer youth in the queer community. And I encourage you to take a listen. There's lots of good learnings that we can adapt for all of us. And the next webinar as well I want to plug is we're doing an intergenerational mentoring webinar with Linkages. Linkages is a program from Calgary who specializes in mentoring between cross age groups. So they have seniors who do mentoring programs within seniors centers. They also have tips on how to attract retired folks to your mentoring program, how to make sure that we can ensure that mentoring taps into some of the we're not only reflective of the whole population in terms of demographics, but that everyone can have an opportunity to benefit from being a mentor and also from having a mentor in their life. So I encourage you to check that out. We'll have a couple more this summer, one about how mentoring programs help stop youth homelessness, and another with Dr. Jean Rhodes, who's probably the most renowned researcher on mentoring in North America, and she's putting out a new book. So we're going to have a chat about that. So I encourage you, as we're talking, to type into the chat box and give us your feedback. If I'm speaking too quickly or if audio is cutting out, let us know. So I would ask the participants, if you feel comfortable, please share in the chat box who you are, where you're from, and what you're hoping to learn on today's webinar. That'll help me guide me as we keep talking. So as always, when we're completed the webinar, we try and put these together in a video format that you can watch and share. So check our YouTube channel for more. As well, we'll email you an evaluation after the webinar and ask you for advice on how we can improve and reach out more in future. If you're not already subscribed to the Alberta Mentoring Partners Partnership newsletter, I encourage you to do so. You can go to albertamentors.ca and you'll get a pop-up, I think, right away. But if not, you can click on the blog drop down and get to the newsletter. Great. So let's talk a little bit about this resource, the Create a Quality Community-Based Mentoring Program. So for the sake of today's webinar, I'm just going to keep referring to it as the toolkit. So this resource was initially developed almost a decade ago, and we just refreshed it, adapting some of the new learnings. We've restyled it. I think it's a lot more accessible. It used to be a folder full of documents and PDFs, and we used to hand it out on a USB key. Now we've styled it and condensed it to a 27-page PDF. So I encourage you to sit down and actually, this is such a strong distillation of hundreds of thousands of hours of mentoring knowledge. I encourage you to sit down and actually spend some time with it. For each of the steps listed, I think if you do them thoroughly, it could take about an hour, and I'll explain more about why each of these steps, which may seem intuitive, may take a little bit longer. So what it is we operated from the assumption if somebody called us and said, we're in Drumheller, we want to start a mentoring program, and there wasn't currently a mentoring program in that community, Or if an organization called and said, we're with the Japanese Canadian Association, we want to start a mentoring program for our cultural community. How would we help them get started? What are the best practices and essential elements of practice that you need to have a quality mentoring program? We know that quality mentoring programs are those with training, with support, with guidelines and process, and they improve the outcomes that you have for youth. So not all mentoring programs get the same benefits, and we're trying to move them from just a nice to have program to one that actually produces measurable outcomes that improve the quality of life for both parties involved, the mentor and the mentee. So you'll see on the table of contents, I'm just skipping ahead to page one, we talk about how quality mentoring is a mentoring practice that produces significant, lasting, positive contributions for mentees. It's responsible, ethical, effective mentoring. We're going to talk about all the different kinds of programs that mentoring programs operate in Alberta, but we're also going to be talking about the key components here. So on the left with the table of contents, each of the steps that I'm going to walk through are I think, essential to ensuring that if you do the work now at this point, before you have your program started, it will really help you in moving ahead in the journey, and it'll save you a lot of time in the future, especially things like, I'll just pick on, say, insurance, step six, or staffing, step seven. If you actually dig in and print out this document and bring it to your team and work with your funder, your board, your volunteers, and say, okay, how are we going to get started? How are we going to address the key considerations? It'll save you a lot of time in the future before your program gets started. So I just want to take a peek who's on the call, and I'm just going to pick a couple of you. So somebody from the YMCA in Ontario, and they're interested in a newcomer youth mentoring program. Awesome. I'm going to talk a little bit about a supplemental resource to this document we have that's all about mentoring newcomer youth. Marine. Yeah, we're looking at another nonprofit organization looking to start a program. And we've got some school folks and some community folks. So I'll also direct you, if you're looking for a specific school-based program, this toolkit is much more towards a community-based program. We also have another one called the Framework for Building Mentoring Relationships in Schools. So on our page, if you go to Schools and Agencies and click on Framework, that's an excellent resource in terms of everything you need to know about forming a school-based mentoring program. So the first question we always ask is, as you're getting into this mentoring journey, who is your program population? Who do you want to serve? Because that will help inform what kind of mentoring program and what structure you take place. We talk about traditional mentoring, which is the one adult, one young person. Many of you will be thinking about kind of the big brothers, big sisters model. We talk about group mentoring programs where there could be one or several adults working with small groups of young people. We also talk about peer mentoring or teen mentoring, where we have youth mentoring other youth. So this could be the model of high school students who are mentoring elementary school students. And sometimes there's a combination or a blend. Sometimes there's also other various types of mentoring, like cyber mentoring or online mentoring. So we think that if you really think about who the youth are that you're trying to serve and what best meets their needs, that's going to really help you think about the structure of the program. So as always with any of these tools, so step one, identifying the program population, we have targeted additional resources to go deeper into this. This document is really just kind of your first step, and then we layer on extra programs. So for example, I'm going to ask Andrew to pull up albertamentors.ca/refugee-newcomer. This is the link to the our newcomer refugee immigrant mentoring toolkit. We went around Alberta 2 years ago and said, so what are the best practices for mentoring newcomer youth? And we collated them into a series of tools that are supplemental to this that can help specific newcomer mentoring programs be successful. And it talks about some of the cultural considerations and other pieces to think about. So we created it in response to the wave of Syrian immigrant refugees that were coming to Alberta back a few years ago. And we helped adapt it into something that's, I think, useful for all cultural communities. And so we tried to create some of those more high level best practices. So definitely take a look through. So we know mentoring takes place in a variety of settings. We have site-based, where, for example, you come to the office of your organization. We have online mentoring. We have community-based programs where the traditional mentoring, like the mentor and the mentee, might go to a baseball game, or might go on a walk, or play basketball, or go to a coffee shop together. That's we refer to as being out in the community. We also have school-based models where the mentor may come to the school and they might take place in the school. That's another consideration. There's also faith-based, where churches, faith organizations will be the physical space where the mentoring can take place, or workplace-based. Workplace-based, we're seeing more and more as a growth opportunity, where a group of mentees will come to an office, let's say 12 to 1 on Thursday, and you'll have a dozen employees mentoring a dozen young people, and that's what they do for that 1 hour a week. And we're seeing a lot of success with that model, and we're actually going to be talking more about that at the phone call on Friday I referenced, the Friday marketing call. So yeah, as you think about who you are mentoring and who your target population is, that will help you select who your mentees are, and it also help give you some sort of guidance as to who your mentors should be and where you're going to find them and how you're going to build the piece together. So as you see it, looking through the document, you'll see not only is there the prompts for each of the paragraphs, such as mentor screening, mentor training support, commitment, staffing, and it talks about how they're different. There's also these little circular pop-up bubbles that give you different different reminders and prompts too. So take a look and think about that too. So then we have on page 5, if you're interested in starting a one-to-one mentoring program, we've got 6 expert tips there to help you think about that. And similarly, then next with online mentoring, still in the types of mentoring programs section, we've got 7-8 online expert tips there as well too to think about. So in all these different programs, you're still going to be having to go through and define the same sort of question of, okay, well, I'm going to run an online program or a cross-age peer mentoring program. You still have to think about how you're going to recruit, how you're going to support, how you're going to train, how you're going to staff, where it's going to take place, how you're going to operate it, and for how long. So we go through and try and prompt for each of these how to make sure that your program can be successful. So there's really no one-size-fits-all solution. We have seen many models be very effective, so long as they have they've addressed the essential elements about training and quality and support. So I encourage you to go through and reflect, even if your heart's set that you're going to run a one-to-one program. I encourage you to look at a group program and just play the mental game of, if we were to run this program, how would it work? Because sometimes things happen, like volunteer shortages, or it's harder to get started right away, or if you can't secure the funding or the volunteer commitment, those are pieces that you need to think about. Then step 2, the strengths and needs assessment. Does your community need this program? It takes a massive amount of time and overhead to run a nonprofit organization, to get insurance, to think about that. Sometimes it's best to operate your program in collaboration with an existing not-for-profit organization or school. And there's ways that you can spend more time and energy on the mentoring instead of the overhead and the administration of the program. So we encourage you to think about, do an audit in your town, in your community, in your city. What's already out there? Who's already doing this? Have they operated mentoring programs in the past? Are there ways that we can kind of dust off one of the greatest hits and revisit it? I think sometimes in the sector, we're always so keen on starting our own thing, starting something new, and we reinvent the wheel all the time to get people excited. But I think sometimes we really need to sit back and say, okay, running a mentoring program is a ton of work. And the last thing we want to do is start a program that's not sustainable, where we have to bail. We don't want that. So we want to make sure that we can build something that lasts. And you know what they say, you go far together, form the partnerships, and move ahead. So think about, go through those questions and think about, what formal and informal mentoring resources does the community have? Who are the targeted mentees? How many are there? How old are they? Who would the mentors be? How would the community benefit? How are we going to recruit mentees and mentors? Is there really a need for this program? To what extent? How do we know? These are really important questions to sit down and journal, like actually put pen to paper and write them out. Because by doing that, by being able to develop the case for investment and the need now with step 2, I know it sounds onerous to actually sit down and do that, but I'm I'm serious that if you put it down in writing, it will help you later on as you're fleshing out these details, you're fleshing out grant applications, and you're pitching partners. It's really building it now and having that deep thought. Then next, after that exercise, you will have really thought about the need, you'll know the program's needed, you'll think about that, and you'll move ahead to step three, identifying program partners. So like I talked about in the last section, you want to work with existing organizations. For those of you who have affiliations with umbrella organizations, like say the YMCA or YWCA or Big Brothers Big Sisters, I mean, these are even churches, for example, you want to tap in and say, okay, we're part of say the this society. What other affiliates are operating mentoring programs throughout the country, and what can we learn from them? So for example, if you said, oh, I'm with a Rotary Club and we'd like to start a program, I will connect you with the Rotary Club in Calgary, and you can learn from their organization and their great work. Step four, defining the program. This is getting into some of those key details about, again, the purpose, the objectives, the contact, the benefits, the describing the program. And you'll see that we, again, have created space here for you to print out this guide and fill in. And I don't want to sound like your grade school teacher again, but honestly, put pen to paper and fill in these details. Write them down, because there's something powerful in our minds that when you actually write something down, you're more likely to do it. It's more powerful to see it visually in front of you. And I think writing down some of the responses to these questions are essential to actually building the strength and the go ahead for your program. I take calls all the time from different folks who want to start a mentoring program, and I work with them over the phone. And usually as we're going through this process and we're doing the audit, it really helps us sort out whether the program is necessary, if they can partner it, if they can do a scaled version, and it really helps flush things up from here. So creating a budget. One question we always get is, does the AMP have funding? We do not. We are a capacity building organization. We do not provide funding or scholarships, or we do not provide operational funding to mentoring programs. However, what we do provide is professional development, capacity support, lots of different ways. We'll help you run your program as efficiently as possible through collaboration and through shared resources. So you won't need to build an online training platform, because you can use ours. So thinking about the budget, these are all pieces that you want to sit down and think about. We have a link here to an Excel spreadsheet that can be used to create a budget. It includes a list of potential expenses. It's all designed to prompt you to say, oh man, I hadn't thought of that. I hadn't thought about the cost of transportation, which is often quite onerous, or the cost of snacks. I mean, especially teenagers, they eat a lot. You'll need it. You'll need to double down on the shopping carts. Step six, about insurance, same thing. We strongly encourage you, anytime you're working with young people, anytime you're doing a program like this, we strongly encourage you to look at insurance. And actually, we just did a webinar about 3 months ago with one of our friends who's an insurance provider in Alberta, and he talked all about considerations that you need to think about as a nonprofit. So if you go to the podcast or go to our webinar, you should be able to hear the audio and see the presentation. He made a very, very provocative PowerPoint about what we need to think about. So I highly recommend you checking that out. In terms of staffing, I think thinking as well about who's going to work the program, who's going to make it work, because it's going to be, how are you going to have somebody who's there, who's a support, who can check in, who can coordinate and make sure that the program functions well, the matches are supported, the kids are supported, and we deal with any challenges that might come forward. So I highly recommend that you take a look at this and you put some deep thought into that as well too. So one of the most common questions we get for people who are already operating a program is around recruitment. How do we make sure that we get more mentors and more mentees, and not just more mentors, but qualified and passionate and interested mentors who are going to go the distance with our program. So I think by doing that work early on in the program about who your program is for and who you're trying to serve, that really helps answer the question for you about who your mentors should be and where you're going to find them. So we in addition to these pieces here about recruitment strategies, we have numerous tools and resources on our website about how to support and recruit mentors. I would draw your attention to our Mentoring Month campaign. Every January, it's Mentoring Month across North America, where we encourage Canadians to become mentors. We also have on our own page, if you're a partner of the Alberta Mentoring Partnership, if say Michael goes to albertamentors.ca and is interested in becoming a mentor, as a partner of the AMP, your program will be listed here as a partner. So they just type in their address and they say, oh, you live in Oyen. Well, as a matter of fact, there's this program in Oyen. And then Michael can indicate his interest in volunteering for that program. And as a partner of the AMP, by putting your information onto our site, it automatically is shared with LinkedIn. So if you're on LinkedIn looking for a job in Edmonton or Calgary or Oyen, it'll also say, by the way, this mentoring program is looking for a volunteer. Would you consider doing that? So there's lots of ways where I think we recruited almost 600 mentors last year in Alberta directly from our site to share with local mentoring agencies. And we also have thousands and thousands of people who come to us, learn more, and then contact the local program too. So make sure that not only do you have your program up and running, but that you're working with us in the process to maximize your co-promotion. So in the Mentoring Month toolkit, there's all kinds of good stuff for you in terms of marketing materials, pictures, images. We've got handouts. We've got some very cheeky things. Like there's one, it's like 10 reasons not to mentor. It's quite funny. It like goes through each of the 10 reasons not to mentor and then unpacks them. It's in our workplace mentoring tools. It's one of my favorites because it helps when you're talking to somebody and they're like, oh, I don't have time. And then it sort of helps. Well, it's a 1 hour a week and oh, I'm not qualified. Actually, yes, you are. Here, we need caring adults and we want to welcome you to help a young person, and the young person will think you're just awesome. So then screening, it's not enough just to get the mentors in. You need to screen them. This is an essential step. So we strongly recommend you have an application, you get them to sign an agreement, that you have an interview with them one-on-one. Anytime we're dealing with safety of young people, whether it's a group setting or a one-on-one individual setting, we strongly encourage you to have a solid, rock solid screening process. And if you want to go into a deeper conversation about how that works, I encourage you to contact us. One of the first things we encourage you to do with new potential mentors is have them do our online mentor training. It's a 1 hour, 5-module online mentor training course, which you can do on your phone or your computer. And it really, what it does is it not only just gives them a great overview of what mentoring is, but it really helps screen them. It helps them have that self-reflection about, wow, is this what I thought it would be? It helps them manage expectations and think about what it means to be a mentor, what their obligations are, what they're signing up for. So I really encourage you to do that. As well, we often have a criminal record, child welfare checks, other steps like that. We have the mentoring program staff can conduct a check on employment and personal references. And then from there, we have a conversation with them, then making sure that we're all on the same page about what they'll be doing as a mentor. So I highly recommend that. We have even tools for having those conversations on our site and how to make sure you get the information that you want to get. So consistency and doing the work in advance, the screening, that is absolutely key to a successful program. So you'll see we have a couple of tools attached here. We have a mentoring program school referral form. So if you think that you can fill this out and customize it for your page, often if you're thinking about who our mentees should be, this is a chance for the school to refer them to your program and you'll know a little bit more about them and what they're doing. And then we also have a consent form for that you can use, and some other samples and tools here too. Step 10, training mentors and mentees. I mentioned our online training. Highly recommend if you're on this webinar today, just go and do it. You can do it at your own pace. They're 15-minute modules. Highly recommend you. It'll really help you think about what you're doing, where your program's going to go from here. Goal setting, when you get your program started and you're thinking about, okay, going back to that beginning about what's the objective, what are the goals here? And how do you help the young people, the mentor and the mentee, set goals together and to make sure that it's a little more purposeful in terms of conversations and outcomes. So we talk about that. We have different ideas about different pieces, and it really helps establish what the program is and how ranging the outcomes from learning about your own culture or learning about their culture to attending to support self-esteem or other outcomes there. So we this will really help you as you're filling in your grant application and answering the why. Then step 12, we go into match supervision and monitoring. So Kate, you've been screened, you've been matched. The pair is together doing their thing, or the group is together doing their thing. Now, this is where you as the staff member help supervise the program, that we make sure that we talk to the mentor and the mentee and make sure they're both feeling good about it. We help make sure that if they're hitting barriers, one of the most often ones is sometimes it's hard to form a connection. Okay, well, we've got some tips on that. We've got some other guides on how to form connection. Another one we get all the time is, we don't know what to do together as the mentor. I'm not sure what we should be doing. And we actually have a resource that it's called the High School Activity Guide, but I recommend going through it if it's age appropriate for you, for even if you're not in a school setting. It has all kinds of different activities and fun pieces, from ranging on designing a CV cover, designing an art project, doing a get to know you exercise, thinking about post-secondary. So there's all kinds of fun things to do in that high school teen mentoring handbook and activity book. It's a really good prompt to dig through. So again, I recommend printing that out and pulling it out. So we talk more about supervision. We talk about termination of a match, that if it's not going well, and or maybe the individual the mentor may be leaving town or getting transferred or something. It's sometimes just important to have a good closure and a good termination process as any other component in the program. Because for many youth, especially if they faced abandonment, especially if they faced hardship in the past, to have a breakdown or a breakup or a situation where the match closes prematurely can lead to greater feelings of abandonment. And actually, there's been research on the outcomes that it's better almost not to have had a mentor match at all than to have a mentor match that ended badly, that it can be more harmful for young people. So right from the beginning, we recommend discussing, okay, this is the duration, to help manage expectations, that for the next 8 months, Michael is going to be your mentor. You'll be doing these activities at school. This is what it will look like. Having those conversations on the front end and being clear that, you know, you really wanna manage these things carefully. It happens, life happens. We, especially in Alberta, where we have many of us have to work remotely, and we have somewhat of a transient economy sometimes. This happens, we understand that. It's about managing expectations and getting out of it ahead of time. Evaluation, making sure that your program is accomplishing what you set out to accomplish. So we give some guidelines on how to create a logic model, how to operate, how to articulate what your goals are and how you're going to get there. And the logic model from there helps define your evaluation plan. And we have a ton of webinars and different resources and tools on evaluations that you can do on a very small budget, that you can do with a small group of volunteers, and the prompts and questions that you can use in your evaluation, and how to make it part of your continuous process. You shouldn't just run your program for 2 years and then have a conversation about evaluation. Evaluation should be built into everything you do. It could be satisfaction surveys, could be keeping attendance records, or different forms. It's easier than ever with digital tools, and we've got a lot of resources on our website to help with evaluations. So highly recommend you you take a look at that. So that's kind of an overview of the mentoring program toolkit. I blazed through it in 30 minutes, but I'm not exaggerating when I say I think you should take a good hour for each of those steps and sit down and actually work it out and put it on paper. It will save you doing the work on the front end and having the reflection and conversation with your board members, with your staff. It'll really help you down the road. And as always, we're here at the Alberta Mentoring Partnership to help you on your journey. As well, for those of you who are in other provinces, there's a Ontario Mentoring Coalition, and we're in the process of building a Canadian Mentoring Partnership, which will help expand and enhance programs throughout Canada. So we always say all of our stuff is on our website for free. We want you to download it and use it. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Go in there and dig in, because we have all kinds of specialized resources. Another one I want to highlight is mentoringgirls.ca. The Alberta Mentoring Partnership and the Canadian Women's Foundation, we built a site which contains megabytes and megabytes full of information on how to run a group mentoring program for girls. Now, if you're looking at teen girls, this is a great resource. But if you're not, if you're also looking at supporting teen boys, or if you're looking at supporting cultural communities, many of the considerations that they've outlined here in a lot of detail can help you move ahead. So I encourage I encourage you to click through there and take a look. Just for example, click on program and meetings down below, and just gonna walk through this quickly. And then you'll see they have all the different chunks along the rainbow spectrum there, and then more details. And say back at the top, click on say the brown one there. So it'll jump you over to program population. You can download it as a full document if you'd like to. But if you're just looking for one particular aspect, like, oh man, I'd like a permission form, I encourage you to go in there and check it out. It's a wonderful resource. And we thank the Canadian Women's Foundation for their partnership here. So at this time, I'm going to jump over to see if there's any questions and if I can help in any way. Great. So for those of you looking for resources on faith-based mentoring, I really encourage you to, we had a podcast episode with a fellow named Donovan, who's with the Christian Association of Youth Mentoring. They're an umbrella organization for faith organizations who do mentoring in the United States. He had some tips and tricks about how to recruit from your parish, how to recruit from your church congregation, how to align it with the goals and outcomes of the church, how to think about its insurance, etc. So that's, if you're in a faith organization, I strongly encourage you to go and take a look at that episode. It's I think it's in the teens somewhere. We did it a couple of years ago, but they're great. Again, I mentioned the Refugee Newcomer resource. That I highly recommend that. It's a great tool. And we also, for those of you who are working with Indigenous Canadians, we have an Indigenous toolkit as well. I highly recommend checking that out. What I'm going to do from here, I'm not seeing any more questions in the queue. I'm going to encourage you, if you do have questions, to give us a call, send us an email. Reply to our newsletter or reach us at mentor.support@albertamentors.ca. We're always happy to help and to help make sure that we can help you be successful. So get in touch, and we'll see you on the next webinar. So watch for a follow-up email, and happy mentoring.